Good to see you. Welcome to Church on the Rock, particularly if this is your first time. We are super, super, uber excited that you are here. Give it up for the first-time guests, whoever they are. Welcome. It's good to have you. If you come every single Sunday, we are super, uber, over-the-top excited that you're here. Give it up for yourself. Good to have you. All right. Hey, so good morning. My name's Josh. If you don't know me, I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. And today, I am going to lead us into the ninth and final installment of a message series that we've been calling Beyond These Walls. This is actually the longest sermon series our church has ever done. So welcome to history. You know what I mean? Like, you made it. I want to kind of talk for a minute, if I can, about this series. So I started back. I'm going to let you behind the curtain. Is that okay? Last week, how many of you guys were with us last week? Give me a whoop, a hand, something. Whoop, whoop. All right. Last week, what I did was I just said, look, I just want you to come behind the curtain. I want to talk to you like your team, like you serve, like you're fully engaged, you know, and all that stuff. I just want to talk to you like that. And so I'm going to do the same thing again today, if that's okay. If you enjoyed last week, I hope that you will enjoy this week, but I'm going to take you I'm going to read you all nine parts real quick. I want to show you kind of how I think and what we do and how I've been connecting these topics from the start of this series to now. So week one of this series, I titled the message "Watch Out," and I read from that scripture where the Bible says, "Watch out, because your enemy, he roars around," Satan, right, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And what I did was I honestly talked about spiritual warfare. And I was like, look, if we're going to be obedient to God and we're going to go where God's calling us to go, if we're going to go into this expansion, we were still at our kids' campus, all meeting there. And I just began to talk about, like, man, if we are going to walk in obedience, we as a church, you as an individual, if we're going to walk in obedience before the Lord, we have to watch out, because Satan doesn't like you just to just do what God's calling you to do and like, oh man, I guess they're just going to be obedient. Like, he's going to do everything in his power to come against your progression in the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Okay, good. And then week two, I talked about being well-nourished. And honestly, it's been a theme throughout this series. Every Sunday, I've talked about the need to cultivate our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, the church can't do it for you. You have to do it for you. Say amen right there, because that's true. Amen. You have to do it. If you're walking with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus is up to you to cultivate. Like, he's always there. The Bible says, draw near to God and he draws near to you. The Bible says, if we seek him with all of our hearts, we find him. And so you cannot overemphasize, overteach, or undervalue the reality of us connecting with God relationally, listen to me, every day. Amen. Every day. Then in part three, I talked about having a sense of urgency, that, like, hey, we're a church with a mission. We're trying to achieve something. God is calling us to something. So it's bigger than just gathering together. It's bigger than just meeting. It's bigger than just groups. It's bigger than just things. Like, we have a mission to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, the Great Commission of Jesus, that's what Church on the Rock is about. We want to preach the gospel to everybody everywhere, and we want to make disciples of all nations. I said, man, let's have a sense of urgency about it. And then in part number four, which was week one that we met here, I titled that message Being Seen. And if you were with us, you'll remember that I told a story about a time that I showed up to an atmosphere kind of like this one, and I felt like I was the smallest fish in the world's biggest pond. I didn't feel significant. I didn't think I mattered. I was thinking I would just sort of show up, and somehow I was seen. I was loved. I was known. I was guided. I mean, and it totally captivated me forever. Changed my life forever, where I just thought, man, every person that ever comes to Church on the Rock, I want them to feel like these people just made me feel in this conference. I want them to be seen. Like, I want people to walk in and feel like maybe they're on their last leg of desperation, or like, I don't know what else to do, or I'm all out of ideas, I'm all out of effort, and all of a sudden they show up and they just find an authentic group of people that love Jesus and love them too. Like, they're noticed and they're seen. And then in week five, I talked about sharing your story. And I just talked about how being a witness, because we're trying to go beyond these walls, right? We're trying to go beyond the walls of the building we used to be in. We're trying to go beyond the walls of this building. Please, Lord Jesus, I don't want to stay here forever. Let me say that early, all right? But then even once we have a more adequate space that's permanent and ours for our church to gather, how many of you know God's calling us beyond these walls? Like, it's not about the buildings. And what I did is debunked the reality that you don't have to know all the Bible stories, and you don't have to be all caught up and know everything about, like, you don't have to be a theologian. You can just be somebody that's had an experience with Jesus and talk about that. Because nobody can tell you you didn't encounter Christ Jesus. That is yours, and you can just share your story. Week six was Palm Sunday, and I talked about donkeys. Come on, that seemed to have resonated with so many people. I am the donkey, right? A lot of people have been saying that to me, that Jesus would choose imperfect, messed up us to be the delivery system of the gospel to the world around us. Easter, we talked about the surprise of Sunday, and you might be surprised about the way Jesus treats you, that he loves you and he cares about you and he's in pursuit of you. Last weekend is when, honestly, I pulled the curtain back a lot. And I just began to, I spoke from this platform like I was talking just to our serve team. Just the people that serve week in, week out. They serve on Sundays, they serve on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. We have people that have, the serve opportunities are enormous here. And we just talked about the reality of what we have done is a pretty big deal. This is not just business as usual. This is not just some small thing. Like, we have really, really climbed to a high summit as a church, and I titled the message, High Altitude, High Cost. Because going to an altitude that high has an impact on you. And I talked about hiking and climbing and things that I'll only do in pursuit of an elk or something. I ain't doing it just to do it. Come on, somebody, right? I'll climb for the kingdom, man. I'll climb peaks like these. But we talked about how just doing great exploits for God will sometimes take their toll on us. I would love to just sort of pedal here a second, because the thing about doing ministry, this is to me the beauty of it. The thing about ministry, serving in ministry, and stepping into obedience to the call of God on our lives, is that it really takes all we are to do it. It's a physical outpour, it's a mental outpour, it's an emotional outpour. It's a spiritual outpour. And I just believe there's a lot of things that we can do in our lives that don't encompass all of us like the work of God does. It fully engages us completely. Which I think, by the way, is one of the reasons why it's so magnetic. It's one of the reasons, by the way, I think it's so transformative. It's one of the reasons that I think it's so meaningful. But I also think it's one of the reasons that it's so exhausting. Because it's all of us. It takes everything you've got to serve when God calls you to serve. Now, last week, what happened was I had already written a message that I was going to preach last Sunday, and then God just changed the gear midweek, and I actually rewrote that message, High Altitude, High Cost. And I just wanted to pull back the curtain, and I wanted to talk to the team and just say, look, man, we've been through a lot of things, and I understand that there's been attacks, and man, let's make sure that we replenish. And if you missed it, I would encourage you to go back. You can find it on YouTube, you can find it on our website. Go back and see it. But today I want to do the same thing. In fact, can I be really honest with you? The more honest I am, the more comfortable I'm going to be, and the better I'm going to deliver a message. Is it okay if I'm just really transparent? I woke up this morning, and I really just wasn't feeling it. You ever have that? I wasn't feeling it. I was just kind of like, I didn't feel like it was Sunday. I didn't feel all energetic and like giddy and like, come on, let's do this. I just felt like it was another day. And in transparency with one of my brothers in Christ who prayed for me this morning, I said, to be honest with you, if I wasn't the pastor and I wasn't required to serve, I probably would have stayed home today. This would have been the Sunday that I would have just been like, yeah, you know what? It's not that nothing's wrong. I don't feel like people today. I don't feel like it. And so it's probably best I'll just stay home. But then, you know, the reality is, it's like, if I stay home, that has some issues. That would affect some things. And so I had to sort of like get it together. And honestly, as I was looking at my message this morning that I wrote weeks ago, I'm asking myself the question, why did you prepare this? This is the question I started asking. And I was getting in my own head. And I was seriously sitting here going like, man, is it too late? Can I do something different? But then I just kind of settled in. And here's what I realized. And this might mean nothing to you, okay? It might mean nothing to you. But I just realized, you're in your head because this is not something you preach. This is something you teach. Don't preach it. Teach it. And so I'm going to teach today. Is that okay? I'm just going to teach you. And I want to pull the curtain back, and I'm going to talk to you like every single one of you are a part of this team. Because at one level, you absolutely are. Even if all you ever did was attend, you're a part of what God does here. What you do matters. It's important. If you're a first-time guest, like you've never even been here before, you're a part of what God is doing here today. So welcome to the team. I'm going to talk to you like my teammates. Does that sound good to you? I've titled my message today, Better Together, which is a theme around here. It's in giant letters on the sides of our trolleys. It's sort of a thematic thing that we say. One of my favorite things to say to people is something I didn't create it. I wish I could take credit for it, but I'm not that smart. Something that one of our serve team members often says and sort of coined is he will often tell people, we're better because you're here. Oh, we're so glad you're here. We're better because you're here. And I believe that that is absolutely true, that we are better because you're here. I believe that we are so much better together. And I want to take you to a story, a couple of things we're going to look at today, and then I'm going to give you 3 points, pray, and then we're going to get out of here. But I want to take you to John chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 31, which, by the way, we have notes that are available on YouVersion. They are digital every single week, and so if you don't have that app downloaded on your phone, you need that app. In fact, here, I'm going to walk you through it. Everybody get your device out. We're going to take a couple minutes. I'm going to go to my YouVersion. I'm going to do it with you. So you're going to open up YouVersion. Everybody got your devices? I see people stirring, all right? And then once you get it open, down at the bottom right corner, it's going to say more. You're going to click that. Click more. You got it? You can talk back a little bit. I'll preach better today. All right, thank you. And then you're going to click events. Click events. And then if your phone does what my phone does, Church on the Rock is at the top and it says live because your location's on. And then you're going to click Church on the Rock. Boom, you see it? A miracle. All my verses are right there. Every point that I'm going to make is right there. You can do this every week. And then in the top right corner, it says save. Do you see that? Save. If you like these notes and if you want to choose them, you can click save and it will save these notes to your device. If you do not click save, you cannot find them later. YouVersion, for whatever reason, does not archive them. You have the option to do that. You just click save. All right. Everybody ready now? Let's get into John chapter 13. I'm going to read a little story. It's going to sound familiar to everyone. The Bible says that as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him." Verse 32, "And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once." Let's just pause for a second and let me give you the context of what's going on here is that Judas has just left the room to go betray Jesus. This is what's going to send Jesus to the cross. This is a big deal. It's a pretty big deal. Has anyone in this room, and it's rhetorical, I would encourage you not to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything back, but has anyone in this room ever been betrayed? Have you ever been left stranded? Have you ever had somebody that you thought was your ride or die, but they were your ride until it was time to die? And then all of a sudden it was over. Have you ever had someone that you always thought, like if anyone, never them, but it was? This is what Jesus is experiencing. Now, I have to kind of contextualize this a little bit because Jesus, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is all man. Jesus is all God. He has this bigger picture perspective. He recognizes fully that for Judas, for him to fulfill his purpose, Judas has to betray him. But I can't imagine still that it felt good because he's poured into this guy and he's discipled him and he's loved on him and he's cared for him. He even washed his feet like he washed every other disciple's feet. Jesus never withheld any good thing from Judas. He gave everything to Judas that he gave to all 12 of the disciples, and yet still Judas was the one that would betray him. Now again, Jesus being Jesus, the lighting is definitely better on this side of our stage. Jesus being Jesus, he kind of knew this, but I would imagine that it still hurts pretty good. I'm reading a book right now that is doing wonders for my heart. It is challenging and probing and digging at me in all the right ways. It hurts a little, but it hurts really good. You know what I'm talking about? And there's this section in there, there's a statement, I guess, where the writer of the book, he's speaking about, it's a book for pastors, and he's speaking to pastors, and he says this. He says, it's interesting because every compliment is written in sand and every criticism etched in stone. And I'm like, yep, that's true. As many times as people compliment me, and it means so much, oh, I'm so grateful, thank you. I'm glad that what our church is doing is impacting your life. I'm glad that you're encountering Christ. I'm glad that your life group is just being so good to you. I'm glad that you love worship. I'm glad the message spoke to you. I'm glad that you felt cared for by that serve team member. Oh, it's so good, it's so good. Compliment, compliment, compliment. I'm so glad. But the minute someone criticizes, it lands differently. And I can get 13 of you in a row to compliment me and one of you to criticize me, and guess what I'm going to think about all day? It's unbelievable, quite frankly. It's remarkable. And so it's easy for me to put myself here in the shoes of Christ Jesus, because I feel like that must be a little bit of how Jesus feels, although it must be far, far worse. We'll move on to verse 33. Dear children, Jesus is communicating to the 11, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So Jesus is starting to reveal that, like, a lot of things are about to change, and I'm about to leave this earth and all this kind of stuff. Verse 34, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. It's interesting. I honestly didn't know this was new until now, but it's new. He says, love each other. It's like, oh, okay, sure. Were we not supposed to do that before? I don't know. I just find it a little ironic. I didn't know. But apparently this is new. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to love each other. And I want you to do it just as I've loved you. But the last sentence, this is what I want to lean into today. Verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And that's what I want to hone in on in the final installment of this Beyond These Walls series. Because if you'll remember from last week, I talked a little bit about how when you climb to these high altitudes, like we have done, and I'm not trying to oversell this, but I think everybody that has served and poured out feels it. You get it. When you climb to these high altitudes, it has an impact on you, and it has a tax. Like I said, it's an outpour. It's an all-encompassing outpouring of who you are and all you've got to make a difference in obedience to your calling. And so we've had all these people that have been doing this and just been pouring it out, man, and just, I mean, leaned in unbelievable ways. And here's what tends to happen. We talked about Elijah last week, and I'm not going to repeat last week's message, but I am going to say, if you'll remember, I talked about that Elijah, when he got depleted, started to get a wrong view of others. He started to get a wrong view of himself, and he started to get a wrong view of God. And when it comes to having a wrong view of others, here's what we are at risk of experiencing in seasons of depletion. We are at risk of experiencing frustration easier than maybe before we climbed to the summit. Anybody ever had one of these moments? Maybe it was a long, stressful day at the office, and one of the kids just didn't clean up their plate one more time, and it's still on the table, and you've told them so many times, and then your other kid has an attitude, and you're about to lose control of your mind because you can't take anymore. Come on, where are my parents at? Preach with me today. Come on now. It's real, right? And what happens is the things that might... yeah, you're a real parent. And so, like, the thing that happens is the thing that might not get to me normally gets to me more today, because today was the kind of day where I thought I was going to lose it on my boss or whatever, something went wrong, I lost the bid, I didn't get the contract, whatever it is. And when we have these high pressure moments, it's easier, isn't it? It's easier to find ourselves frustrated at the little things, at the little things. Jesus, of course, is in this high pressure moment, but what I want to do is I want to pull the curtain back, I want to talk to my team, and I want to say that, hey, listen, if you find yourself here lately a little more irritable, a little less patient, a little more like, what did that mean? Come on. A little more, what? I want to speak to that today. I honestly don't think this is the most popular thing to teach on. I've not heard a lot of guys talk about it, but I'm not trying to be popular, I'm trying to be helpful. And so I want to talk about being better together. Because I think that every single one of us have experienced some sense of betrayal or pain, a misunderstanding. How many of you guys stayed mad at a family member for a long, long time? And then when you finally talked about it, you found out like, oh, come on, I know. We all have families. So let's go to Matthew 18, because here's where I'm just going to teach a little. I want to help us. I think that the words of Matthew 18 are really, really powerful and oftentimes overlooked. Here we go, Matthew 18, verse 15 through 16. If another believer sins against you, offends you, if somebody does something you don't like, if something happens that you didn't agree with, something happened that you do not understand, something went differently than you thought it ought to go, the Bible says, and I emphasize it on the screen, to go how to them? How do we go? Privately. It does not say go to social media. It does not say go to every single person that agrees with your perspective. It does not say go victimize yourself around the people that will get on your side. The Bible says that we should go privately to that person and like have a conversation with them. This is not popular. I'm going to teach anyway. I really am. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. We're going to talk a little bit about how to do that today. And if the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. Woo, everything's good. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you. Hey, find some brothers or sisters in Christ and, hey man, I've got a misunderstanding going on and I just want to make sure that, like, I want to resolve this. I want to love the way that Jesus loved me. I want to obey this commandment to love one another that way. I want to make sure that my life is a representation of Christ Jesus. And so I want to be the kind of person that will go directly to the person that I've got an issue with. I want to talk with them. I want to pray with them. I want to figure out what's going on. I want to resolve this because I live on mission beyond these walls. And I want to make sure that I look like Jesus, that I act like Jesus, that I respond like Jesus. Take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So I want to just talk about this a little bit, okay? And I'm going to do it as quickly as I can to respect your time. I'm going to give you three thoughts today because every single one of us, whether you serve at a church or not, have all had issues where we don't see eye to eye with someone else. Maybe it happened at work, maybe it happens at home, maybe it happens in the neighborhood, maybe it's on the golf course. I don't know where it is. It's in traffic. I don't know where it is, but we don't always see eye to eye. And I want to try to help us to figure out how to actually biblically walk through this. The Bible says that we should just go to the person. And I think that in our culture specifically, and especially, it's easiest not to. Because we have all these platforms for ranting. You will say things, can I soapbox it just a second? I did this slide. I'm going to get on a soapbox, I'm going to get right back off. But you and I will say things on a social media platform that we would never have the boldness to say to someone's face. And we'll just do it. Because we're protected by technology. But that's not how Jesus asks us to act toward other people. It's just not how he asks us to do it. In fact, the other day I was on this YouTube thing and I probably shouldn't have clicked on it, but you know, clickbait, man. Y'all know what clickbait is? It's like you can't not. You're just like, click. All right, I gotta watch it. And I'm watching this video and it's a YouTube channel of a person that I have seen a couple of the videos, whatever, okay, a couple of videos. And the person says this. He's something happened in a big church with a well-known name, and he's talking about it. He's talking about what went wrong and why and this thing and that thing. And then he says on his video, I didn't even want to make this video, but I had to, and then I almost didn't, but then I felt like I really needed to. And then he continued, because he's a Christian, and he continued by saying, like, look, I don't really want to like bash this person or what happened, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I had to stop right there. Stop, click. I'm like, yes, you do. In fact, that's what your whole channel is. It's all you do. All you do is talk about other Christians and their issues. It's all the channel's about. And I don't want to click on your channel anymore because this is not what the Bible says we should do. All right, so I want to help us. Like, what do I do? What? How do I handle these situations? If I have disagreement, if I have a disagreement with someone in my home or someone in my church, what if I have a disagreement with someone at work or any such people, what do I do? And so I want to teach you something that I teach members of my team. This is something that has continued to grow. I have run this through practically many, many times and found this to be a very effective way to have conflict resolution. And number one, if you're a note taker, it's going to be on YouVersion. It'll be on the screen. Number one is, I'm going to encourage you, and this is first and foremost, assume the best. If I'm going to go have a conversation with someone about something, what I need to do is show up to the conversation assuming the best. I'm going to assume they didn't mean it like that. I'm going to assume they had a different perspective. I'm going to assume that how I felt about it isn't how they intended it. I'm going to make the assumption that they have a good heart, that they have good intentions. I'm going to assume that they would not say something like that, they would not do something like that, they would not intend it that way. I'm going to show up to this conversation because I'm following Scripture and I'm going privately to my brother or to my sister, and I am going to have the best assumption about them. And here's why I always encourage that you do that, because you tend to find what you're looking for. That's what you tend to find. What are you looking for? So look for the best. What are the best qualities about that person? What do you respect about them? What do you admire? What is something that you think you actually, listen to me carefully, it's going to hurt some of you, can learn from with those people? And go to them with that at the forefront of your mind. Start with that. Hey, I want you to know something. I just love how committed you are. Man, you're here all the time. You're so leaned in. You're so focused. I don't know. You figure out the adjectives. You figure out the compliments. But I'm going to show up to a conflict resolution, and the first priority in my heart is I'm going to assume the best about you. For two reasons. One is because I find what I'm looking for, and two, because the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what's the Bible say? Think about these things. Get these things in your mind. Think about these things. I'm going to go to my brother, I'm going to go to my sister, and I'm going to assume the best. Number two, if you're a note taker, is that I am going to lead with questions. That's how I will start. It looks like our screen quit working. That's why you have YouVersion. Amen. That screen quit working. I see that one. I'm going to lead with questions. The mistake that some of you are making is you're leading with opinions. Your perspective is the first thing you want to share. I didn't appreciate when you said, and what we've done is that says to me, you've not assumed the best in me. That says to me that you don't want to hear from me. That says to me that you've already drawn your conclusions about me. And quite frankly, I don't want to talk to you. That's what it communicates. So if I am the type of person that, when I show up to this situation, I'm just going to assume the very best about you. I know you have a good heart. Man, I know that you're faithful. Man, I know that you really care. I know these things. I see it in action. Can I ask you a couple questions? The other day, when we were in that moment, and you said this, what was that? What did you mean by that? And the chances are that oftentimes someone's going to respond, and you're going to go, oh. I'm going to tell a story I didn't ask permission to tell. Ready? Me and my dear friend Pastor Aldridge, we real talk each other. It's one of my favorite things about our friendship. we talk to each other honestly about, it's the Spirit of God, about everything. That might be Aldrich. Maybe he's coming. And we do. It's one of my favorite things about our friendship is because I feel like anything that I'm thinking, feeling, I can just say it. I can just say it. One of my teammates, she'll often say, I'm just going to say it messy, and then we'll clean it up, right? And like, it's that, and we'll just talk about it. And so he and I, we were having this exchange, and we were having the exchange via text. And in one of his texts to me, I thought like, huh, that doesn't seem right. Like, huh, that caught me a little off, like, interesting, okay. And so we have meetings regularly, and so he has a note, and hey, things to talk about with Josh, and I have a note, things to talk about with Aldrich. In fact, I do this with all of our staff. Hey, I just keep a note, and then when we get together, I'll just kind of work through it, like, hey, this, that, the other. And so when I met with Aldrich, I said, hey, I wanted to ask you about this conversation we were having via text the other day, blah, blah, blah. And I was a little surprised. And so I said, it looks to me like you're making a negative assumption here. He goes, oh, well, because how many of y'all know you can't hear text, you can't see or tone, you can't hear see facial expression, right? And so in my mind, I heard a negative assumption. What he said was, if this is what the person intended, then I assume it's not a good thing. And when he said it the way he typed it, I went, oh. Oh, never mind. All right, cool. Next. Now, if I didn't have that kind of willing heart, if we didn't have that kind of friendship, if I didn't have the willingness to go have brave conversations and talk honestly with the people that I love, I could have thought to myself, well, I can't believe that he would think like that. And he didn't think that way. He didn't think that way at all. In fact, he thought exactly the way that I was thinking. I just misread the interpretation of what he meant to say. And when he read it the way that he's like, well, this is what, I'm like, oh, that makes very sense. Problem solved, like it was over. Okay, great, yeah, perfect. All right, we're on the same page, and we just moved on. And here's the thing, that many of us, we will have these issues between us and other people boil to fighting points, and we never asked any questions. We never went to them and even said, like, hey, what did you mean? How did you intend this? Hey, when that happened, what were you doing? What was your thought pattern? What got you to this point? Whatever. We ask no questions. We make negative assumptions. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Listen to this, right? Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Hey, if I've got issues going on with somebody in my life, it's time for me to do what Jesus said. I'm going to go to my brother, and I'm going to assume the best. I'm going to lead with questions. And number three, then you can share your heart. Then you can talk. You can talk. Because here's the thing, and I want to say this about leading with questions, is that it's okay. You can listen and validate and not agree. You can listen and validate and totally disagree. You can say, okay, I've heard you, and I can validate how you feel. I can understand how you come to that conclusion. You know, because of your background, because of your experiences, because of your story, like, it makes sense. I understand how you got there. I disagree, but I validate that that's how you feel. But by assuming the best in them, by leading with questions and just hearing from them first, now the door is open that, hey, can I share my perspective? Can I tell you that when you do that, it rubs me the wrong way because, man, when I was growing up, my mom used to always say that and I couldn't stand it. So when you say that, gets under my skin, and who knows, they might be like, no idea. Man, okay, yeah, cool. I realize it. Or hey, when this happens, like, it just makes me feel like you don't appreciate me. Or you don't see that, like, I'm trying. this is how I show my love. How can I better show it to you? What do you need from me? See the questions? And all of a sudden, because you care enough to have brave conversations with people, meet with people, all of a sudden you start to find out, man, we actually are better together. And instead of being a bunch of church people, run around and bicker and backbite and complain, leave this church for the next church because this church and then that church did this and now I'm off to that church and then, oh my gosh, and blah, and instead of doing that, and we just show the love that we have for one another by actually having conversations with one another, assuming the best about one another, making sure that we lead with questions in our conversations. We will listen and we will validate, and then we will share our honest hearts with humility and just let people know that, like, man, hey, I don't think I have it all together either, but this is how I feel. This is what's going on. I would suggest that when you share your heart, be honest. Be loving, be humble. Be humble. You and I are not perfect. We don't have it all together. We don't get it right all the time. So go into a brave conversation being willing to own what you're responsible for. If there are 10 slices of a pie and you only eat 2 of them, you are 100% responsible for 2 pieces of pie. Own that. Own that. Apologize for that. Hey, how can I improve for you? What can I do differently? Be humble. Be humble. The Bible says, brothers and sisters. Anytime you see, by the way, brothers and sisters, the Bible's speaking directly to the church. It's saying the family of God, those that walk with Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Look at verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. It's self-deception. I share this message today because I do my best anyway, I guess. I don't want to sound like I got it all figured out, but I do my best to really stay in tune, really, really in tune to the pace, the heartbeat, the rhythm of our church. I relentlessly work at that. And being better all the time. And so for me, as the pastor of the church, it sort of comes in layers. And so I feel like my very first responsibility is the staff of Church on the Rock. I spend the most time with them. I pour the most into them. They see me most. And so that's like layer one. And then we have what we call captains, and that's the people that oversee like our serve teams. And we have a gajillion of those, and so we spread that responsibility among our staff, and we want to make sure that, man, our serve team leaders, our captains, we call them, are healthy and doing okay. And then, of course, we have all these serve team members, and, man, it's really important that we articulate to them and communicate to them and prove to them that, like, we really genuinely care about you, and so we're not trying to burn you out or run you ragged. Like, we love you, and we want you well, and we want you healthy. And then there's the family, all the church, right? All these people that call this church their home, and the reality is that, like, I care as much for you as I do for any of them. And so I brought this message today because just at the layer that I'm closest to, I started to recognize, like, man, this high altitude has had some impact. And this is not to say that there's problems. This is just to say that we've all kind of said out loud, like, we're a little tired. Gosh, man, we're feeling this a little bit. And so we're focusing on replenishing. Man, we've had some depletion. We've got to fill back up. But when the level's low, we have to remember that, hey, probably a little more prone to a short temper. I'm probably a little less forgiving. I'm probably a little less understanding right now, and I need to have an awareness of this. In fact, I need to heighten my awareness of this. Why? Because I want to make sure that I carry the gospel of Jesus beyond these walls. I want to be a witness everywhere I go to everybody that I'm with. And so if I've got an issue going on, I'm going to go to my brother. I'm going to go to my sister. And I'm communicating this today in the context of like a church context. But that might not be where it applies for you. This might apply best in your home, the office, the job site, with that distant family member, with that person that you've not spoken to in quite some time because you didn't assume the best. You didn't ask any questions, and you never shared your heart. Maybe this week, you just call them. Hey, man, can we talk? Can I buy you coffee? I gotta ask you some questions. I'm just trying to help us. Because I think that this is a very real struggle that every human being faces at some point and at some level in their lives. And it's, for me, it's just a simple a word to the church. Hey, everybody, let's be extra aware. Let's be extra aware. We are moving the needle in the kingdom of God right now. We're doing it. We're doing something significant in the kingdom as a church right now. What do you think Satan's about to be up to? Division, dissension, frustration. He's going to try to get between us and make us look like fools to the world around us. Why? Because we're just not doing the things that Jesus asks us to do. All right, I'm going to close right here with Ephesians. I want you to, if you would, please bow your heads, close your eyes. The Bible says that God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. Why? Because it's a gift from God. There is a grace that is sufficient. Maybe you've never stepped into a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been walking in one, but you still need that grace. I'm going to pray for you very quickly, and then I'm going to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. I want to start by just praying for those of you that might need to go have conversations. You're going to head into these conversations assuming the very best. You're going to head into these conversations leading with questions. Let questions be your first words. And then you'll share your heart humbly and lovingly. And I believe that there could be some healing that takes place in relationships this week, because you're going to follow a little simple three-step thing that I like to teach our team. So, Father, I pray for every person that needs to have a brave conversation this week. They need to go talk to somebody. They need to go be honest. Maybe they need to go ask forgiveness. But I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would help us, those of us that walk with Jesus. Help us, Lord God, I pray, to be what you call us to be, the kinds of people that would love others the way that you love us. Help us, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, to be willing to have brave conversations. Help us, Lord God, to begin to assume the best about others, to assume the best, not the worst, to look at every upside, to look at every benefit, to look at every quality, and choose to see and emphasize that instead of deficiencies and instead of weaknesses. Help us, Lord God, when we go into these conversations, to ask questions. To just lead with questions, because maybe it's not what we assumed. Maybe it's not how we thought. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's better. Father, then I pray that you would give us the boldness to just lovingly and humbly share our hearts with those people, so that our relationships can strengthen, that we can carry each other's burdens, we can fulfill the law of Christ. Now, maybe you're in this room and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. And if that's you, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. We take this really seriously at our church. And so if that's you and you say, man, I want to step into a relationship with Jesus. I need to be loved like He loves. I need what He offers me. I want to invite you right now, if you would, to simply make a decision right where you're seated. And I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Church family, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody to say it. I want you to say this prayer. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those that made that decision. Congratulations.